Happy Friday, everybody. And you know it's a happy Friday for me because I am down at Walt Disney World. So make sure that you're following on the social media at Be Our Guest Mike on both Instagram and Twitter for pictures live from your favorite place. Ricky's joining me today, and we're going to have a show for you talking about a fun Disney topic. But first, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Magic for Less Travel. I'm sure you've heard by now, but there are some great specials for this summer to head down to Walt Disney World. There's a summer meal deal that gets you a free quick service meal per person per night with your package. There's also some great summer room discounts as well. The best thing to do is just drop by themagicforless.com, check out all the great specials on the page, and while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form, and an agent will get back to you right away to let you know about your deal for heading down to Walt Disney World this summer. And from somebody that travels each and every summer to Walt Disney World, it's an awesome time to travel, and you can save a few bucks at the same time. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. A big shout out to all of our listeners who continue to use our Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You're going to still get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra. And I'm telling you, every purchase does add up. It really does help support the show. So again, when you do that online shopping, please, if you don't mind, use our Amazon affiliate link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1480 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from beourguestpodcast.com and from the B down at Disney Springs. That's right. We're staying in the big white hotel that I think was hit by a hurricane a few years back. So can't wait to tell you about it. It's going to be fun. And apparently I'm running all over the place down Disney Hotel Plaza Boulevard, you know, when I could be running around Hourglass Lake. Be fine, though. It's going to be, you know what? Everything in life is a story. And this is going to be a good one. So stand by for that next week. But this week, we recorded this one a little early so we can have some fun Disney talk to get your weekend started just a bit early. And we're going to talk queues today, the best and worst. And the person to bring that to you, of course, Ricky Niblett from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Happy Friday, Ricky. What's going on?
Happy Friday. I am looking forward to a very fun weekend here in Atlanta. So that's what's on tap for me this weekend, not being at Walt Disney World.
I know. You know, the big competition right. Happens this weekend. Of course, we got here on Thursday. So yesterday, we settled in late Wednesday night. Thursday was kind of the day where everybody gets settled. Friday, all day, today, practice. They're practicing their routines. They're doing what are called run-throughs. I forget. Full-ups. That's what it's called. See, I got to get all my terms. And then Saturday and Sunday at ESPN, if you're down there, let me know. You can come over. You want to see something crazy. All these cheerleaders, thousands of them. Mallory's cheering 31 teams in her group. They got to get top 10, go to Sunday. And the words we want to hear, again, everybody say it with me. There's three words. You just hit. We're going to hear that on Saturday, tomorrow. Say it real. Anyway, today we are talking about the best and worst queues. This was a blog article over on themouseforless.com. If you click on the blog on the upper right-hand corner of the page there, lots of fun stuff to read for the Disney fan. But this is one that passed about 3 weeks ago now, and it was interesting, you know, because I think everybody has their opinions on best and worst queues, because queues are a huge part of the Walt Disney World experience. Of course, we try to avoid them with FastPass Plus for the most part, but here's the thing. Let me just start this conversation. I've done Flight of Passage, I think, 4 times now at Walt Disney World, every time with a FastPass, and everybody tells me, oh, you got to see the regular standby queue. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's like 4 hours. No.
I mean, forgot you haven't seen it.
I haven't, and I don't ever want to. But I mean, do people have a... I mean, I know that they put a lot of time into the queues. The queue that really started getting this all rolling, I think, was Expedition Everest. It's like going through a museum. But what say you to the folks that are like, you know, you haven't experienced the attraction till you've experienced the full standby queue. Do you think people have a point there?
Well, you know, I think that was probably the case years ago when, you know, Disney was building all these queues without FastPass Plus. And now that they've, you know, incorporated FastPass Plus and are building queues with FastPass in mind, and you're right, Everest was really kind of the key for this. They built two queues so that you would understand what was happening, whether you went in the fast pass queue or you went in the standby queue. So, you know, you got the same story. And I think that, you know, Disney has definitely done this as we move forward with all the other attractions. More or less, you get kind of the same thing. Now, I will admit, you know, the queue, I have waited in the queue. I've actually been in the full queue for Navi River Journey. I've done that one too, but for Avatar Flight of Passage. And I've done the Fast Pass queue. And on that one, I will admit, the queue is very different on Flight of Passage in the actual standby line. It doesn't mean I'm going to suggest waiting in that queue if you have the ability to get a Fast Pass. I would absolutely prefer to wait.
I mean, I haven't seen the blue guy in the tube, but I mean, like, my life hasn't been rocked either, you know?
It's really cool. They have some other really cool parts in that queue as well, especially in the bioluminescent forest and things like that. But do I feel like I'm missing out? Because, I mean, I haven't seen that queue since annual pass holder previews. So, you know, obviously it's at this point been almost, no, yeah, it's been almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years this month. So I haven't been in the standby queue for that attraction. So do I feel like I'm missing out? No, not really. I mean, I'm just like, okay, see you later. I'm going to go ride the attraction now. But I think that for the most part, since FastPass Plus has been incorporated into Walt Disney World, they really do try to put in pieces to tell a story. Now, of course, some of the attractions, like, say, for example, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, when you look at that queue versus the FastPass queue, they put in all those little storytelling things, the water feature that they had, you know, to, you know, kind of
the colored water.
Yeah, the colored water and the spinning barrels and things like that. Like, those activities were put in because, you know, they wanted people to have something to do while waiting in the hours long line for the attraction versus if you do get on with FastPass Plus on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I mean, really, there's not a lot. You know, you're walking about a cottage, but really that's about it. So it is a different, you have different things that they do offer just because you're waiting in a long line. So, you know, people are going to be bored. So they have some additional things to offer those guests to kind of help pass the time a little bit. So anyway, that's my take on queues nowadays is I feel like Disney does do a little bit better job for the standby queue of giving you things to do while you're waiting.
So, and we do these shows on Fridays because I like to have the conversation over the weekend on Facebook where everybody has a little downtime. You know, maybe you're on a Friday night on the couch watching some live PD like I typically do and just scanning social media. And you know what? Because I want to hear what you have to say, especially about this topic. Because here's another question for you, Ricky, before we dive into specific queues, which we will do. I mean, do you think people seek out queues? I mean, because queues obviously are, to me, they're a necessary evil. You have to queue up to get on an attraction. Obviously, you want it to be the best experience possible. Disney wants you to start to become incorporated in the story and the queues. But, like, there is not a queue that I go out of my way to stand in ever. And, I think maybe some people, like, feel like I have to go through that queue, you know, to really see. Like, for example, I think one of the better queues in the last 3 years is the Peter Pan standby. They did a great job of storytelling. You know, it's a lot different than, say, a Winnie the Pooh queue from years back, from like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes.
That's one of the worst, in my opinion.
Oh, agreed.
Even though it's plussed, we'll have a conversation about that. But I mean, you know, even with seeing Peter Pan's queue, and I really liked it, like, I don't really want to go through that long standby line ever. But I mean, do you think some people do?
Oh, I will fully admit, I hadn't seen the Peter Pan, like, queue until I think it was this year. It was one of those nights where it was, like, late night, and I think, you know, Peter Pan was the last attraction that we had to necessarily do in the park, and I was like, all right, fine, let's just, you know, I didn't have a fast pass, so I said, let's just wait in the line, whatever. And so I finally did it, because I knew the line wasn't that long. I could kind of see where it was. And I did it, and I was like, okay, now that I've seen this queue, it's definitely cool. Like, they've done a great job enhancing the story, telling a little bit more, especially when you think about what the queue used to look like when it was really just switchbacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was nothing to experience on that queue, and so boring. So at least they've added this to kind of, A, for, you know, get the story to get moving a little bit, and B, really give people something to look at besides just the same people over and over again. So that was a big thing. So I think that honestly, that really is one of the best queues that I think Disney has built in recent time, especially on attraction that didn't have that originally. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
I agree.
And it's way better. It's way better than the Winnie the Pooh queue.
Yes.
Which was literally one of the first queues that they did when they started kind of...
they're called scene ones or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, started doing the scene ones. And I know that they've really cut back on those scene one things just because I think that they worked okay. But I don't know how great they were for people. I mean, you know, I think I really think that Disney's like, you know what? Instead of spending all this money on the queue here, we can, you know, fixing up these queues, we can just, you know, put it other places. So... But the scene one there, I mean, I really don't like it. I hate that honey wall in that scene one. Like, I will not touch it with a 10-foot pole. That thing just skeeves me out, and I feel like I'm going to get, like, so sick by touching that wall. I avoid it with at all costs. Like, I feel like it's got the plague just on it.
But I think, you know, with these, okay, so I'm lumping a bunch of them together. Haunted Mansion, Winnie the Pooh, yeah. Space Mountain with the game you can play in the Star Tunnel.
Well, they don't have that anymore, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, when they had it, because so, here's the thing, is like, I remember when they first came out, and this was probably 5 or 6 or 7 years ago now, it's been quite a while.
Yeah.
Like, I think the difference is, and I just want to kind of break this down, is that, you know, maybe everybody didn't have like an iPhone with a touch screen, you know, like saying there was a little bit of novelty to that honey wall where you could touch it, manipulate it just by, you know, like a touch screen. And so that was different. You had the video game aspect of the Star Tunnel, the Haunted Mansion with making the noises. I mean, that's kind of the thing is what these introduced to was you almost had to come up with like a new waiting story. In line. Like etiquette, because say you're in the Star Tunnel playing
definitely.
The game at Space Mountain and you're rocking, you know, and your game's not over, but now there's a, you know, 20-yard gap because people have moved up in the line. Like, I was always like, do I pass them? Do I not? Because they're in front of me, but they're not moving and I don't want to stand here. I think that, you know, I think that Disney had the best intentions to pass the time the best way. But I think what has happened, say, in the last 3 years is that everybody has a device in their hand. You know, like you don't need the scene ones anymore. And I think that's where the Play Parks app or whatever that's called. You know, I think they're bringing that to your device, and that's software. That's easier for Disney. And it's not something that's going to be, you know, obsolete and hardware on the walls and in the queues for the next 10 years.
Oh, absolutely. And please don't get me started on the Haunted Mansion queue. I absolutely can't stand it. Like, I will get a fast pass for the Haunted Mansion just because I don't want to walk through that new scene one that they have there. I think it's a terrible scene one. I really dislike it a lot, actually. I dislike the story that it tells. It doesn't add anything to the attraction, in my opinion. And I feel like that I think in a weird way it kind of detracts from the attraction. I know that it's got some cool effects and stuff like that, but and I really like the Sea Captain and how that really was a part of the story originally when they were conceiving the Haunted Mansion. But really, I mean, that's honestly the best part, I think, of the whole, you know, just because I know that that's from the original story. But everything else, like, they can get rid of it tomorrow and I'd be like, see you later, I don't really care. Like, I really dislike that scene one. It is probably my least favorite scene one that they've ever done. So,
you know, I think if you had to really, this is just me, but I think the best done queue at Walt Disney World right now is Expedition Everest, even though it was one of the first in this movement to make the queue, you know, something that wasn't a torturous event. It was something that was kind of interesting. And, you know, it's not going to be like your most exciting thing waiting in line, but I think they did that the best because here it is. It's not interactive. It's not like where you're touching and, you know, making things honk and, you know,
minus,
you know,
the bells.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's not crazy. You know, it's like people don't back up because they're in the middle of some kind of a timed event that lasts 2 minutes. But the thing is, when I go through Expedition Everest, it is interesting. And it's, you know, it is like walking through a museum. And if you think about it, a museum is best experienced at a slow pace, you know, with a bunch of exhibits. This one might be interesting to you. This one might not be. You know, so you know, when you're looking at these artifacts, you know, as you go through the queue there, it's a conversation piece for those that you're standing in line with, or it can be, it doesn't have to be, but you can also be on your device and not have to participate at all in it. And it's not going to affect you. I think that's the best one to me right now, because it's not going to bog down the line, and it's just, it doesn't look obsolete. It looks great. It matches perfect, and I think it'll be fine in 5-10 years down the road.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that the Expedition Everest queue is probably one of the better queues overall. But the queue that I really think is the best in all of Walt Disney World is actually at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and it's Tower of Terror. I mean, that queue tells the story from the minute you, I mean, it literally is starting to tell the story from the minute you're walking down, you know, Sunset Boulevard. I mean, you see that ominous big giant tower looming ahead, and it's pulling you towards it. So it's definitely got that weenie, you know, aspect that Walt always loved. And then as you enter the line and you wind the pathways of this old decrepit hotel, and you've got the vines that have overgrown, and you know, sometimes there's that mist and that steam that's kind of, you know, mm-hmm. making things a little foggy, and like that part to me is so cool. And then you enter the hotel, and you enter the lobby, and you've got the you know, the scenes that they have laid out for you to tell the story of, hey, this is an abandoned place, like there's nobody here. I think that to me, and I don't even ride Tower of Terror, and then you get into the, you know, the actual scene where they have, you know, Rod Sterling, and he's telling you the story of what actually happened, because that's part of the queue as well. And then you take your way into the boiler room, and that continues the story, because you're, you know, that's where you have to board your service elevator. And the boiler room area is so well done too. To me, that is seriously the best queue, I think, in Walt Disney World. I mean, it just hits it out of the park. They do a fantastic job. It's got the story element there, because you've got that scene with Rod Sterling. You know, I just feel like that's the epitome. Like you said, Expedition Everest is the epitome, and I definitely think that it's right up there. But Tower of Terror is also right up there for me. They hit that out of the park when they built it. And you know, I mean, look, Tower of Terror has been there since 1994, and you know, it's still one of the best queues that Disney's ever built. So you know, I think they did a great job with that.
Here's what I think about Tower, and I agree with you. I think it's a well done queue, because it definitely sets the scene. It sets the mood immediately upon, yeah, you know, before you're ever in the lobby there, which really then amps it up 10 times. But I think the thing is, I think a lot of guests who maybe are not hardcore Disney fans, is you're entering the outdoor section of the queue as you first get in line, they might think, wow, this is like Disney's kind of dropping the ball, because like, it's, you know, they're like, you know, like water fountains with no water in them. Everything looks kind of run down and abandoned, which is the whole theme of the attraction.
That's the whole point,
but
yeah.
I could see like at first people like, Disney, man, put some water in those you know, fountains.
Oh no,
what's going
on? It definitely,
you don't think?
Tells the story. No. It tells that story exceptionally well. You get it as soon as you walk up to that, you know, the gates, and you see the, you know, the dead plants and the overgrown plants and things like that. Like, it's just, yeah, it's awesome.
George in the chat is saying you got to check out the one at Disneyland, the Guardians version.
I'm dying to awesome. See their queue, because I know that scene with Rocket is, I've seen that Rocket AA, and I'm assuming they will probably be bringing that to the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster when that comes out over here at Epcot. So I'm assuming we'll get something very similar here when we move forward with that. But yeah, the things I've seen of that queue at you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout are super fantastic as well.
So let me ask you this. Carol in our chat, a great friend of the show, brought up Slinky Dog Dash queue. Okay, so like, I just want to get your opinions on this one, because this one I kind of have a love affair for, and I also hate it. You know, one, it's outside and it's hot in the summertime. That's why I hate it. And I was there when it opened and it was super hot. But I also love that there's so many little nods to my childhood that I see the seventh and eighth time I go through the queue. And I love that stuff. And it really does. I mean, it is exactly like being immersed in the Toy Story film. I love it at night. I don't like it so much in the sunshine in the afternoon. But what, because that's the newest one. Is Disney doing this right? Because they say they can't enclose it because it would kill the theme of the land. It's a backyard. But what say you?
Can I be honest? I actually haven't waited in the standby queue for that attraction. I've only done Fast Pass. So yeah, I really don't, I haven't seen like some of the aspects of it. I get that, you know, it's an outdoor, it's a backyard. So like, I get that part of it. You know, and I get why they probably, you know, maybe didn't want to enclose it. Maybe I wish that they would have done it like as you're kind of like what they do with Toy Story Mania. You're going into the box of the game as you enter. So like, I kind of wish that maybe they'd done that. Like you're going into the box as well. So that way they could enclose it. I get why they didn't, but you know, for the story, but you know, I guess I wish that maybe they had at least enclosed it a little bit. So that way it kept a little bit of air conditioning in there. But yeah, I haven't done the standby queue for that one. Cause again, I'm not waiting, you know, 2 hours for Slinky Dog Dash. So,
all right. So I want to go back to that blog article because that's kind of what inspired our show today because I don't know. I'm not going to say who wrote this because I disagree with a lot of it. Now, you know, I think the great part
that's
about Disney
point, and a lot of people disagreed with this article. So a lot of the pieces of it. So that was why I thought it was interesting because there's so many points of conversation that we can have with this one.
OK, then Elise F, you're getting it. Here we go. Let's see. No, she has the worst cues at the Magic Kingdom as being Big Thunder, Jungle Cruise, and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I disagree. Now, here's the thing. I think Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is great because of the aesthetics of it. I'm not big on all the little, like I said, I'm not big on all the little games. I think they were fun when that attraction opened 5 years ago. Right. I can't believe it's been 5 years.
Oh, my goodness.
They were really cool, but I think I've moved on past that stuff now with the spinning barrels, the touch screens, the waterfall, stuff like that. But I think kids like it. But here's the thing. I think there's Big Thunder Mountain and Jungle Cruise are two of the similar type cues. They're long. They're hot. I'll give you that. But like both of them, you get to see the attraction. Like you're watching it happen. You're building up excitement to get on the boat or the train. You're being immersed in like little props and like musical cues, especially on Jungle Cruise. I love the loop. You hear the skippers kind of playing around with each other. I think Jungle Cruise, it's switchbacks. Don't get me wrong. It's not fun. But there's a lot of little stuff to look at. There's great music, and it's not so bad. I like Jungle Cruise. What do you think about that one?
I will wait in Jungle Cruise if it's a 30-minute or less wait, and if I can't get a fast pass. You know, I'll do that. And Big Thunder, I won't wait in the full line for that. I usually get a fast pass for that. Same as Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I usually get a fast pass if I'm going to ride it. I think that the main thing that is really similar in all three of these queues is they're all outdoors, and that's kind of what she mentions in the article, is each one of these has a very considerable outdoor portion, and you know, on those hot summer days, yeah, that part is awful. Like you're just out there sweating like crazy and you're just like, oh, can I please get off the ride? So I get it in that regard. I think Big Thunder is kind of cramped, so I do get that too, but it does kind of, especially since they have added a little bit more to it, it does tell a story. So there is a story there. There is, of course, the story with Jungle Cruise too, with the audio cues that you get. I mean, obviously I have an affinity for a Jungle Cruise because my brother used to work there. So, you know, my heart is at the Jungle Cruise anyway. So, you know, I don't mind waiting a half hour for it or so, because I do like the audio that they have there. I get it. They're hot. They're outside. So I understand the not liking those cues.
And she has the best cues at the Magic Kingdom is Pirates, which I agree with. I think that's an awesome one because you're in the tunnels, you're in the caves. I agree. That's an awesome one. It's nice and cool. Peter Pan's Flight, we've both agreed that that's a good improvement. That's a nice one. Now, Haunted Mansion, not really.
That's the one that I absolutely disagree on. I so dislike that cue. It made it, so for me, Haunted Mansion is set in, I mean, I know it's ghosts, but you know, like it's set in kind of a realism situation. And I feel like with the cue that they added, it makes it feel fake. Does that make sense? Like it gives a sense of like, I don't know, it takes me out of that,
yes,
like, oh my gosh, this could be real kind of situation, and it adds like a fake element to it. And that's why I really avoid, you know, going through that queue. And if I can get a fast pass, that's what I will do to ride Haunted Mansion, because like that way I get to bypass all of that. And I don't have that fake.
I agree. It's almost like a cartoon of the attraction.
Yes, cartoon. Yeah. That's exactly the word I was looking for. It feels cartoony, and that's not what I'm going to Haunted Mansion for. Like I want it to be as real as possible for ghosts.
All right. So our writer here goes to Epcot. Worst queues: Soarin' and Spaceship Earth. I will agree with both of those. Those are pretty bad.
Yeah,
I do like the little game on Soarin if I'm playing that, but yeah, there's nothing fun about Soarin or Spaceship Earth. Spaceship Earth outside Switchbacks.
Honestly, I'm surprised that when they redid Soarin to, you know, what they did with the whole Across the World thing, I'm surprised they didn't adjust the queue. Like, I know they, like, updated it from what it was. Like, they added, you know, changed the colors and stuff like that. But I'm really surprised that they didn't, like, rework that queue so that it was a little bit better. But no, they didn't. Plus, that queue does not have any Wi-Fi once you get into,
no,
like,
the... No, it doesn't. It's a Wi-Fi dead spot.
And so worse because, yes. Like, you're just sitting there with nothing to do. And you can't connect to the Wi-Fi to distract you that way, too.
Yeah, Soarin is just such a sterile queue. Like, I wish they'd make it look like, you know, because I'm like a person who just rediscovered flying, and I love airports. Like, I think they're cool. I know not a lot of people like airports, but I wish they'd make it kind of like an airport-like experience, because you're supposed to be going Soarin. You know, like, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of theming you could put there. So, let's go. Her best queues, and I disagree, Test Track and Mission Space. Now, I like Mission Spaces. There's a lot of nods. There's a lot of stuff to look at there. It's kind of weird, though, because it's like fake news. Like, you got this first family that went to Mars. Like, it really didn't happen. But, yeah, it's in the story. You know, it's like it confuses the crud out of kids. Like, you know, I try to teach my kids all about space. Like, that family? No, we haven't gone to Mars yet. You know, it's not true.
Fake news. Yeah.
And that actually was before fake news. But she has Test Track. And I think, oh, I hate Test Track's queue. I just don't like it.
I'm kind of with you. I don't love Test Track's queue either. And it's not because, like, I didn't mind the old queue necessarily, you know, because it was showing you that it was a testing ground. I really don't like new Test Track in general. I think that the old version of Test Track was better, even though, like, I know that it was kind of antiquated at this point. But, like, the test dummy thing, like, that was... I felt like you were at least learning something on Test Track. Like, with the new version, I really dislike it in general. It's not my favorite version of Test Track. And I really dislike the, again, this is the whole, you know, integrating technology.
Yes, I hate that build your car thing. Yes.
Where you build your own car. And I'm like, I don't really care about building my own car. Like, I have, it doesn't appeal to me. And, you know, that aspect of the story just does nothing for me. I enjoyed the part about riding in the car is the best part of the attraction. And, you know, when they, I feel like there's so many like blank spaces now in the ride overall, because they, you know, they have this, the scene that used to be the, you know, did you turn off the robots, you know, and the heat room and the cold room, like they're literally like nothing at this point. They're just like, oh, we needed to throw in something here. So let's throw that in. Like, I'm like, really? Like, you're going to throw in a mirror that just kind of does some weird swoopy thing over it? I don't know. I agree with you. The adding in the ability to make your own car in the queue really, I think, hurts that attraction. And some overall, people, like, it hurts the attraction overall. Yeah.
Kids tend to like it, but, that's something that I think you can get on your phone. You know, Caitlin says she likes it with, you know, making the car with her dad. So that's cool. I mean, that's what I love about Disney. Everybody's got their things
absolutely.
They like and don't
everybody's
like.
Everybody's got their thing. Yeah.
But I will say I miss the old queue with the old I like that old music that played, and then that, except for the thing was they had those crash test dummies and they'd whack that one in the knee like over and over, and like as I'm standing there I'm like, oh man, that's killing my knee, I can't see. That
it hurts. Yeah,
I do love Track, but I'm just not a huge fan of the queue.
I think that Epcot has sort of the weakest queues in all as of right now, in all of Walt Disney World. You know, none of their queues are really exceptional. I mean, the Imagination queue is okay. It's exceedingly dated at this point.
Yeah, that's old.
But at least it tries to tell a story of the, you know, Institute. I enjoy the first half of the Seas with Nemo and Friends, where you're going, you know, underwater and you see the beach and stuff like that. Like, I think that that's really great. But
I got a fact about that queue. Did you know that if you successfully navigate that queue, you actually get a medal for running a half marathon?
Got it. Yes, yeah, exactly. That queue does wind a lot.
It does.
I mean, I do like that they kind of have made it look like you are going underwater, and then once you go underwater, you do see the blues and you see the like the water rippling, and you see the bars to separate the line, or like, you know, it's like they've been rusted over. Mm-hmm. Like I really enjoy that aspect of it, but the queue is so entirely long, and yeah, if you're waiting in it. But. I feel like Epcot has like the weakest queues. I think the best queue that they have is the Frozen Ever After queue.
Yeah, that one's awesome. That's one of the newest ones, and they really you know, they made it comfortable, air conditioned, and it's like you're in the story. It's not like you're in the movie, but you're in something that could be in the movie.
And I think, of course, once we get the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster and Ratatouille, then those two queues are going to be phenomenal. But at this point, I feel like Epcot really has the worst queues overall.
I agree. But you know what? They're updating Future World, so maybe they'll address that. That'd be good. I don't know if they will. Maybe, probably not, but who knows. Worst queues over at the studios, our writer says, Rock and Roller Coaster, disagree. And Slinky Dog Dash, disagree. You know, because I think Rock and Roller Coaster, although it is dated, it's like, I mean, it is. Once you get into the building, okay, you got that little covered part outside, which kind of stinks, the switchbacks. But you're usually not in that very long. Once you get in the building, now, you know, when the technology's working with your Magic Band, sometimes your name pops up on like a rock concert poster. That's always cool. Then immediately you're in, you know, within 5 minutes, you're into the recording studio with Aerosmith. And then you're watching the coasters blast out there. I love that one. And it's air conditioned.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the outside part is torturous. I'll admit that, like that, you know, but I mean, they just need somewhere for you to go. So, you know, you're going to have to wait outside a little bit. But I do agree that, like, you know, the part where you actually get inside and, you know, you see Aerosmith and they're, you know, inviting you to the backstage. You know, you go to the concert with them in the super stretch limo. Like, dude, that is one of the best pre-shows. I know it's super dated and really corny, but after seeing the Rock and Roller Coaster version of the pre-show at and Disneyland Paris at their Studios Park, oh my god, it's so much better. Like, the Paris one is literally like maybe 30 seconds, and it's like Steven Tyler talking about like building the roller coaster, and then it's over. And I'm like, what? That's it? I thought that was just like the intro into the before we get to the actual pre-show. So anyway, yeah, the part with Aerosmith is fantastic. And yes, watching the cars take off and seeing the
that gets you amped up. Like you're like, yeah.
It totally gets you amped up. It makes me nervous. Like my heart starts pounding. I go, why am I going on this attraction? What provoked me to think this was a good idea? Even now, still, like I'm just, like my heart rate just starts going up. Now, I will admit, if you're waiting in the single rider line, oh, that single rider line can be extremely torturous. So I definitely prefer the fast pass line if I can. But yeah, I have no problem with the Rock and Roller Coaster queue.
My favorite time in that line was this past marathon when I jumped in there when I was running the marathon because I was out by myself. And I had plenty of time to finish, and I missed Everest getting on that. So I was like, I'm going to ride Rock and Roller Coaster. So I ran back there, got to the lady running the fast pass stop. I was like, I don't have a fast pass. I was like, but can I get in the fast pass line? She's like, just go. I was like, yes. And so,
yes.
But there were no runners in the whole line around me. So like everybody saw me like with my bib, and I'm sure I'm stinking. I'm all sweaty. But like everybody was like cheering me on. It was like the best. I was like, yeah, I'm in the middle of a marathon. I'm going to ride the roller coaster. And I was scared. Then I got on. I'm like, oh, man, I forgot how low this thing sits.
So
now I'm going to be going upside down like three times. I'm going to get locked up and I'm not going to finish. I started panicking like during the ride, but I made it. It was a good ride. I don't know if I'd do it again. Good. It was so fun.
Yes.
All right. Back to the blog article. She says best cues, Tower of Terror. Yes, I agree there. Yes. Toy Story Midway Mania. I think that's like a 75%er for me. It's not bad, but I wouldn't say it's one of the best. It's pretty good.
It's okay. This is one of those points where like, they were trying to make that interactive queue a thing because they added the, you know, Mr. Potato Head, and the goal was for you to have conversations with him, but nobody ever got that idea of the attraction. But then, you know, Don Rickles passed, and so like you can't redo. Like I really wish they would have been able to redo the Mr. Potato Head like part so that he stops asking you to, you know, conversate with him. So. Like, I really wish they could have done that. But, you know, Don Rickles isn't here anymore, so you can't have him do it. And I'm pretty sure they're still using his voice for Toy Story 4. So, you know, there's no new person they can have, you know, add to that. So anyway, like, I agree with you. I think that it's good in theory and it has some really good parts to it. But it's missing just a little something. And I feel like part of it is they tried to add that, you know, interactivity and it just doesn't work.
All right, let's head over to Animal Kingdom, and it says worst queues. She just has Kilimanjaro Safari, which, okay, it is. It's long. It's hot. I agree. It's pretty bad, but I do like the video. The video, I think, is very good, like edutainment. I think it's well done, but I just don't know what else you would do for a safari attraction. You're going to be outside. You're going to get on a vehicle to go out onto the savannah. I think for what it is, it's about as best as could be expected.
I agree with you on that. I mean, yeah, sometimes it's long and sometimes it's hot. But yeah, I mean, you're going out on a savannah. I wouldn't expect there to be a building you walk into and then, you know, miraculously you're on a savannah. Like I there's no other way that they could have done this attraction, queue. So, I get it. It's hot, it's outdoors. But you know, it is what it is. I think so part of, well, I was going to say kind of one of the worst queues, but also best queues at Disney's Animal Kingdom is actually, I think, Cali River Rapids. Now it's the best queue because like the theming of this queue is so miraculously awesome. Like they have done a fantastic job with this queue. As far as setting the story and telling the story, the part that's awful about the queue is it's so long.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So if they could just cut part of that off, it would be an awesome queue. But yeah, it's like a love hate relationship with that queue. What they've done is fantastic. And it's like Kilimanjaro Safari. It's like they tell the story really well. It's just walking a mile here.
It is. It's super long. And Jeff brings up Dinosaur. I do like Dinosaur, especially that kind of circular room. It's kind of like a museum with Bill Nye the Science Guy giving you some information. Then it gets, you know, it's like mayonnaise, mustard, and ketchup tubes over you because it used to be sponsored by McDonald's. But yeah, I think Dinosaur is pretty good. I would give that a nod to be good.
I wouldn't know. I've only been in that queue like one or two times.
I wrote it with you. For the best queue,
I cried the whole time and kept my eyes closed.
I do. So she gives the best queue to Flight of Passage at Animal Kingdom. She does not mention Everest. So if you had to pick, which one's better, Flight of Passage or Everest? I say Everest.
Well, you haven't been in the Flight of Passage queue.
That's true. And I just don't like that ride too much. So
I know you don't like that ride. Gosh, that is tough. I do like the Everest queue a lot. Flight of Passage is really good, though. I will admit, their queue is pretty on point. Now, I do not enjoy their pre-show. That, like, if I could just cut it off before the pre-show or refilm the pre-show with the guy who just goes, all the time.
Yeah,
like,
that guy cracks me up. Fly? Okay, you stand over here.
No.
It's
dumb. So dumb. Like, just get rid of that. And I don't, like, love the, you know, let's move around and see, you know, get your profile. Like that part's kind of hokey to me too. But the actual queue itself, that queue is really cool at Flight of Passage. I mean, I don't know that if I had to choose one, I might choose Flight of Passage's queue, but Everest is really good too, I will admit. So yeah.
I say too, like that guy has to have a podcast. The guy that's in the queue for
that guy is the worst. I don't know what Disney was thinking when they decided, you know what, let's get this dopey looking guy to do this queue and sound idiotic. And
okay. So before we get to the, because she, I like how she closes out the article with five things you can do in line to pass your time, which I think is good. I think one of these I totally disagree with. But real quick, okay, so
I think I know which one you're going to disagree with.
So
but yes.
Dumb. And I love her. I'm just saying, this, I have different opinions. And my opinion's not always right, just usually. Right. So I'm just going to say, just joking. My wife thinks that I always think I'm right.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, the Dumbo. Okay, when you go over to Dumbo and you have these virtual queues, I love and I hate these things too, because I think this is just because I'm old and, you know, from the Midwest, like there needs to be order and like, you know, structure to things. And like, I feel like, you know, I don't know, like when I get buzzed, I get to go in. That's pretty cool. But like, I'm always like, they can not buzz me. But I think that we're going to move to more of these systems in the next decade where, you know, they buzz your phone. I thought they would do it a lot and they haven't since Dumbo. You know, you're right. But I think it kind of makes sense. You know, people are out doing things. You could spend money. You could be buying souvenirs and then come back. I mean, it's like FastPass, but it's like for a certain ride. What do you think about these virtual queues?
I don't think that they did what they thought they would do. I think maybe you got people who got angry that, hey, those people went in and I'm still waiting or, you know, whatever. You know, a line itself like gives you a solid path. You know, like I said, it's order. You can see where you are in the line and you can see who's ahead of you and how much time until you get on the attraction. With those queues that are, you know, like Dumbo, you can't really see who's in front of you. You can't see how much time you have left. You know what I'm saying? Like there's no way to gauge the time. You know, it's not like they have a countdown timer on your little, you know, golden feather. And yeah,
it's like going to dinner, like back in the day, you know, like, you're at Applebee's, you know, it might be 30 minutes.
It might be, it might not, you know, you just don't know. And I feel like that's kind of the problem with that type of queue. And I think why it didn't really take off though, you know, obviously we're not going to have that in the new Star Wars attractions. It's going to be an actual queue again for those two attractions. So clearly it's not something that worked very well because if it did, I think Disney would continue to be doing it. It's not like you could be, you know, shopping or eating while you're waiting for, you know, I mean, look at Dumbo. There's the play area for the kids, but you know, it's not like you can go away from that area and be like, okay, it's not like when you go to a restaurant and they text you, your table is ready, you know, like you have 5 minutes to get back here. Like if you have five, you know, you have to stay there in order to get on the attraction. You can't go get a, you know, churro next door or, you know, go shop in, the shop that's there in Storybook Circus. Like you have to be there. So I think it really defeats the purpose of the idea of, hey, you can go do something else. No, really, you still have to stay there because when you're buzzer goes off and you have to get on the ride.
But then again, it was nice for Mallory to blow off some steam and she had the best time in the playground, so the kids loved it. It didn't catch on though, because I thought you'd see that more.
Well, you have the whole idea, you know, kind of, and I don't know if it's because of what, you know, Walt always said, you know, he wanted a place where kids and parents could, you know, go together. And, you know, when the kids are playing on the playground, they're not interacting with their family.
That's true. So it was a place where families could go, where kids could play and parents could check their phones.
Exactly. I mean, you know, yeah. So I don't know that it did what they wanted it to do. And I think that's why we don't see them anymore.
I don't know if Walt actually said that, you know, we need a enterprise where kids can go play and parents can update Twitter.
Check their phones.
Even though I'm guilty of it just as much as anybody else.
Oh, absolutely. And I know guilty. Like if I had a kid, like I'm sure like I would think that play area was a godsend, you know, I absolutely get the appeal of having it. I don't think that it did what Disney wanted it to do.
So she gives five things to do while you're waiting in line. Search for hidden Mickeys. Play on the Disney Parks app.
Absolutely.
Download Netflix shows.
I know that's the one you don't like.
That is so wrong. You're at Walt Disney World. If you download Netflix shows, there's something wrong with you.
Says the man who is playing on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram while he's waiting in line.
Yeah, exactly. I'm providing content. I'm not consuming content.
You're providing content.
I'm a producer, not a consumer. I'm just saying. And I mean, I don't have Netflix, so that'd be hard to do for me anyway. And also listen to music or podcasts. I'm all about
that. Absolutely. You should be listening to this one.
Yeah. Right here. I mean, I really don't like people having in earbuds when you're at Walt Disney World because the sounds and the people around you are what you're there for. But if you're going to do that, listen to our show. Just saying.
Exactly.
You're going to be selfless. And make friends. I love that one though, because there are so many opportunities because you have something in common. You know, you're going to ride Soarin'. Hey, you know, have you ridden this before? Where are you from? I love that idea more than anything else. The hidden Mickeys and even the app's okay, but make friends. I like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, you know, you could definitely have some good conversations with people while you're waiting in line.
All right. So we're going to share this on the Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Check out the article. Let us know what you agree with and disagree with. Want to hear your favorite.
You've got thoughts.
I mean, I've just given some opinions today, so let's see what you have too. But it's always fun because people like what they like, they dislike what they dislike, and it's fine. You know, I'm not going to argue with you. You know, it's just some things work with me and some things don't. So
exactly. You may think the Haunted Mansion queue is the best thing since sliced bread and disagree with me 150%. But, you know, you're wrong and I'm right. No, I'm just
It's a fun Friday show and we're going to have fun all weekend long. So go to the Facebook page, let us know your thoughts and hopefully, you know, we try to find fun conversations. Hopefully in your mind's eye, you were in the Jungle Cruise queue or you were headed over to Everest or you were here in the Tower of Terror background loop as we talk about it. That's the whole goal. I know. That's the goal of this whole thing.
That's the best loop. Oh, it is. Oh my gosh.
It
is. Yes.
I can just hear it.
I forgot to mention that the music really sets the tone in that queue too. Yes. The whole thing.
It does. We all need an escape to Walt Disney World and we hope we gave that to you today. So don't forget, we'll have another show for you on Monday, a trip report. But thanks so much for downloading the podcast. And don't forget, today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when you want to head down to Walt Disney World, out to Disneyland, or sail with the Disney Cruise Line, drop by themagicforless.com. While you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Again, check them out over at themagicforless.com. As you do that shopping this weekend, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Costs you nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits, and it really does help support the show. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Give me a follow on social media on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. I'm at Walt Disney World right now. Lots of pictures, videos, stuff like that. Also, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Also, follow at BeOurGuestPod as well. Ricky, you have something. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, also, make sure to check out the BeOurGuestPodcast.com. It's been redone completely, and it looks fantastic. So if you've thought, oh, gosh, their website's terrible, no more.
that was our terrible website decade that we had.
It was. And now that we're in our 11th year, we finally stepped up into the 21st century and have an actual website that looks really good. So you're definitely going to want to check out the new BeOurGuestPodcast.com because it is fantastic.
And also the hack for the website is if you click on Meet the Crew, you can see all three of our Instagram feeds on one page. It's pretty sweet.
That's pretty sweet.
All the latest pictures. That's kind of cool to check out. So check that out as well. So we're going to get out of here. I got to go and hopefully, you know, we just hit. We'll see how it goes tomorrow. But we're going to be there. Platinum Athletics Sparkle. We're there having a good time. So follow along on the social media. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe and go sparkle. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.